So another thing that people are cut off from is each other. So sometimes if you have a house on the outskirts of a village, because they build the wall right up against the village, that house will end up on the wrong side of the wall. And that's exactly what happened to my friend Munira, who lives in this house. In front of it, you can see that 25-foot concrete wall separating Munira and her husband and their 6 children from their village, from their community. Behind the house is another wall separating the family from the nearest settlement. And on the right and left sides of the house are 2 more fences separating the family from their own land, land that has been annexed by Israel. So Munira and her family are basically living in a kind of cage. Here's the gate to the cage. You can see it's manned by soldiers, so people who want to visit Munira, whom you can see in the back with one of her kids, have to sort of hope that the soldiers are in a good mood and will let them through. Munira at this point hardly dares to leave her cage because she and her husband have been served something called demolition papers, which means that the Israeli army actually intends to demolish their home. And many people actually consider Munira sort of lucky because oftentimes if a house is in the way of an expanding settlement or road or the wall, they won't bother building a whole fence around it and getting a soldier to come man it, but they'll actually bulldoze that house. And so Munira is actually afraid to leave her house for fear that she could come back and it would be gone, not that they wouldn't bulldoze a house with people there, which they've done in the past as well. But anyway, here's a picture of the family. That's Munira on the left, her husband Hani on the right, and one of their 6 children. Well, Hani and his family actually originally came to Masa, the village where he lives with Munira, in 1948 as refugees of the 1948 war. The majority of the people living on the land that the UN designated for a Jewish state in 1947, the majority of the people living there were not Jewish. And Zionist forces actually expelled 750,000 Palestinians from their homes to surrounding areas in the West Bank and Gaza and in the diaspora. And Hani and his family, for example, were homeless for 10 years before they were able to finally save up enough money to buy themselves some land and build themselves a home. Hani says that he built this home with his own hands for his family. So just to keep things in perspective, what this demolition order, what this wall, what this occupation, what these things are doing are threatening to make Hani and families like his refugees for the second time in recent history. Keep in mind that 60% of the Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza are already refugees, having lost almost everything already. So keep that in mind when you hear people say things like, Palestinians just aren't willing to compromise. And I don't know about you, but looking at this family and all the Palestinians I worked with during my time in Palestine, what I kept thinking was just, how long can people live like this? You know, how long can people endure this kind of a system before rising up, standing up for their rights, resisting? Well, of course, the answer is that Palestinians are and have been resisting for a very long time. We hear about one kind of resistance, violent resistance, suicide bombers that kill innocent Israelis. And people are always asking me, you know, Anna, why are Palestinians always resisting with bombs? Why are they always strapping bombs to themselves, trying to kill as many Israelis as possible? Why don't they use nonviolent resistance, like Martin Luther King talked about, like Gandhi talked about? Where are those things happening? Well, the answer is that Palestinians are and have been using nonviolent resistance, not just once in a while, not just here and there, but literally almost every second of almost every single day of their lives. Just think about it for a moment. Think about Munira and her family. Simply staying in their home. Simply saying, look, you've taken our land, you've taken our freedom, but you will not take our home. Is a kind of resistance, and it is nonviolent. This is nonviolent resistance. Think about the villagers of Yanun who've come back to their homes and their land. They know that they could be beaten up, they know that they could even be killed by the settlers, but they also know that it is their right to be in their homes on their land, and they're coming back to defend that right. This is nonviolent resistance. And in my opinion, any attempt on the part of Palestinians to maintain any kind of normalcy or dignity in their daily lives in spite of this occupation is a kind of resistance to that system. It's just not something you ever hear about in the newspapers and media. And here's a couple other examples of everyday nonviolent resistance in Palestine. Here's a group of women from the Tulkarm region who've been cut off from their trees by the wall. They've lost their livelihoods, so they've formed an embroidery cooperative to sell embroidery to support themselves and their families. Instead of giving up, instead of leaving, this is nonviolent resistance. This is the village of Atawani, where settlers have actually boiled barley seeds in rat poison and spread that poison around the landscape of Atawani to try and dissuade shepherds from bringing their sheep to their land for fear that the sheep will eat the poison and be killed. And I talked to the shepherd, and she knew about the poison, but she also knew that if she doesn't come back to her land, then the settlers would have gotten exactly what they wanted, and over time they would have come and confiscated the land, saying, well, nobody else was using it. So she's coming back to defend her right to be on her land, even if she might lose a sheep or two. This is nonviolent resistance. Painting the wall, nonviolent resistance. Climbing the wall is nonviolent resistance. Here's a young boy who's building his own roadblock out of rocks and wire that he found in his village. And he told me, Anna, I'm going to build a roadblock so that the jeeps can't raid my village tonight. This is nonviolent resistance. And finally, demonstrations are a kind of resistance happening almost daily in Palestine. We just don't hear very much about them, where communities of Palestinians will march down to the land that is being threatened. Here you can see a farmer trying to explain to the soldiers that have been placed there to basically protect the bulldozers that are uprooting the trees. He's trying to explain to them that the trees being uprooted belong to him and his family and have for generations. This is something else you might see at a demonstration, Palestinians who've come together to pray on their land. And I find it particularly moving, given that for many of these Palestinians, this could be their last chance to ever be on their land. And they're choosing to spend these final moments together as a community, in silence, in worship on their land. Now, although most of these demonstrations are primarily peaceful, they are often met with a great deal of violence from the soldiers, who throw tear gas or sound bombs. There are sometimes rubber bullets or even live ammunition used against nonviolent demonstrators.